all things made new. This is a teaching that's based on the reality that God has said in his word in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the truth about this in the church and as individual Christians is often we are not living as if we are new. And there is a reason for this. And the Holy Spirit was showing me yesterday that old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. It isn't not old things are made new. It isn't the old things from our past that are made new. We try to make the old things new, but he says they've passed away, and that is why we get stuck. So if we're living in the reality of truly being in Christ, walking in Christ, being led by his Spirit, all things are become new. Because there aren't any old things left. They passed away. But we have a choice on whether we live as that being our truth or whether we hold on to the past. We have to let go of the old things in order for all things, including us, becoming new. And this is the place where we struggle against the flesh. We have to choose to yield to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, where he is leading us, not where our past would lead us. And in Galatians 5:17, let's go there. The word says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So there is that tension inside a believer, but it isn't a tension that has to remain so that we are constantly in a conflict internally. Because when we look at 18, the verse 18 of Galatians 5, "But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that law is the law of sin and death. What was, where we came from, our sin, sin against us. We are not slaves to others' sins against us, any more than we are slaves to the sins of our past that we have committed. But if we live in this need and desire for retribution, for wanting them to pay, for remembering daily what they did, we will not be led of the Spirit. And we will be back under the law of sin and death, because that is where we place our hearts and our minds. And he says the carnal mind is at enmity with God. And there's death in it. But there's life in our minds being focused on him. He keeps us in peace, he even says. Those whose minds are set on him are kept in his peace. But we can't have peace if where we are is living in our past. Let's go to Romans 6:4. It says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life." Again, it's a choice. Paul is saying in Romans, we should walk that way. Now, what happens when we don't know how? Do we just give up? Or do we just pretend and do a stiff upper lip, but inside we're seething? Or do we just throw it all away and say, this is just too hard? Being a Christian is just too hard. Or do we cry out to the one who made us and now lives in us for help, because he's our helper. To ask him, what does it mean, Lord, to have all things become new? Why am I living in such an old life when I'm yours? To be willing to be stripped of those things that have burdened us. And the picture he's giving me is like when you, if you've broken a bone, and they, in years ago, they used to set bones in such a way as they would have the cast and the plaster, and you would, they would set it very tightly. In fact, sometimes it felt too tight. And it was dipped and it was wet before it dried and got hardened. And that's what it's like when we're living in the past. We have a cast of the past on our hearts, on our minds, and we can't move much. Can't even see past it. But the key to walking in this newness is the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans 8, 9, and 10. Paul says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." And then let's go to 12 and 13. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit we do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So how are we led by the Spirit of God? When we have things that have happened in our past that have absolutely crushed us, that have made us believe that we are never going to fully recover, that we're always going to have a seeping wound, always going to be scarred, always going to be looking for another method to get better as Christians. When someone in the world does that, that is the option that they have. But we are in Christ. And unless we believe that he really nailed all of those things through his own body to the cross, the sins done to us, the sins we've done, knowing that he took it on himself so that sin no longer dominated us, no longer ruled us. If we don't believe that, that is the essence of Christianity, then we will be floundering to and fro, here and there, trying to get fixed, trying to get healed, because we don't know that he did it already. Because he says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And that understanding that it's not the old things that are made new, it's not our past that becomes new. That past has to pass away so that everything else can become new, including our understanding, including our faith, including our thoughts, including our direction, including our choices and decisions. They become new because they're not bound and entangled by the old things of the past. He's been saying to me lately for a number of weeks now, let the old ways go. Let them go. Let the loss go, so that I can make you new. Because he will not make old things new. He wants the old things passed away, but he will make all things, A-L-L, all things become new, because we've allowed the old to pass away. Now, it is not an easy thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. We will not live the fullness in Christ here on earth that we're meant to, and be the witnesses and the living epistles that we're called to be and the salt and light if we hold on to our past. We will look like every other person on earth who is not forgiven, who drags their feet because something happened to them 20 years ago, who's still blaming, who's still a victim, who's still holding on to an identity that is false, that was falsely imposed upon them, and now they're recreating it through their own choices, through their own beliefs. That is not the future he died for. That is not the present he died for. For us to be these haggard, weary, broken, torn up people. Yes, we come to him that way. And yes, as a Christian, there are times when we're broken and torn up again. But he doesn't want us building it like a snowball more and more and more and standing on it and saying, this is who I am. Because that's not who we are in Christ. In Christ, we are to have freedom. It says in Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what the Father's done for us through Jesus. So why is it that so many Christians live in darkness? It's not real darkness. It's a darkness we're choosing. Because Paul makes it very clear in Romans that we have a choice. We can live in the flesh, or we can live by the Spirit. Let's go to Romans 6:18. And the word says, being made free from sin, you've become servants of righteousness. Now see, the freedom from sin, we always look at it as one way. We have this very one-dimensional view that it's about my sin, what I did wrong. And that is true. Absolutely. When we ask for forgiveness from the Lord and we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we better be aware that we have sinned. But once that's taken care of, and we know we're forgiven for those things, then there's another level of sin that many Christians never let go of. And that's the sin done against them. And if we don't let go of that sin done against us, we will belong to that sin. God says we don't belong to other people's sins that were done against us. He says we're to be servants of righteousness, not slaves of sin. And only if we let go of clinging to those old things, those sins done against us, will all things become new. And it is a hard choice. Some people think, who aren't Christians, that Christianity is a crutch, it's an easy, cute little belief system. The truth is, forgiving someone who horrifically sinned against you or your children takes every ounce of your being and more. It takes the Holy Spirit to really be able to release people by his power. It is not an easy walk as a Christian, but it is so well worth it. The reward of being in union and loved and a friend of God is worth any difficulty we may endure. As Paul says in Romans 8:18, and we know Paul's history, not just that he murdered Christians, but we know also his history once he became Christ, of all the brutality that he endured. But he says this, after many stripes, after shipwrecks, after starvation, after constant persecution, after stoning, he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. not to us, in us. So if we are willing to say to the Father, all these things happen to me, Lord, and I'm angry and I'm hurt and I have unforgiveness and I'm sore inside and I don't want to let it go because it's been all I've known. It's been my identity. It's been what's protected me. It's been my defense. It's been my justification for living. But I am willing to lay it all down before you so that you will make all things become new. If we do that, we will live a life of triumph. We will live a life of joy. We will live a life of freedom. We will live a life of looking forward, not backward. And we will be led by His Spirit, not enticed by our flesh. Because we either move forward in the Spirit or we move forward in the flesh. And even though it's a backward move when we go to the flesh, we're still pushing forward in the flesh, producing fruit for that rather than for the King of Kings. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6:17. Paul said in that verse, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." When we no longer touch the past and the anger that's attached to it and the hatred and the hurt and the memories, because those things defile us. We keep touching the unclean thing. Let's go back and look. Let's go back and look. Let's dig in. Let's chew on it again. When we do that, He can't receive us. And we can't receive from Him. Because we're on a whole different wavelength than the Lord. We're living somewhere else. He wants the old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They cannot become new if we hold on to the old. He's not going to turn the old into new. He will redeem. And that's different. He will redeem what's happened to us. He will redeem it and turn it into something we can never imagine because He promises that all things, all, again, A-L-L, work together for the good of those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose.